We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Mavs Party. I'm Kirk Henderson, and we're still live. It's 12:54 a.m. here in Central Time Zone. We already got three people waiting to talk. If you are unfamiliar with the show, those of you who are watching live on YouTube, there is a StreamYard link, which I attempted to pin. I hope I did it correctly. Click on that link, and it will very quickly take you to basically a place you can talk on your phone. You can be live on your computer. However you want to do it, I want to hear what you have to say about this game. We'll hang out until nobody else has anything to say, and then we will go to bed. So coming up first, I have a new caller whose name I don't recognize and also don't know how to say, so I'm going to bring him up and let him introduce. Evening, how are you? How do we say your name, my friend?
Man, you can call me Jose, like yo Jose. It's just the abbreviation of it.
Oh, okay. I hate fucking up names. It's so embarrassing. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. I'm talking from Brazil.
Yes. So what's going on? What'd you think of that game?
Well, first of all, I guess it was an awful game to see. Like, I know it's like playoff vibes and etc., but like, I didn't think like that we imposed our game, and I think we are letting like Clippers coordinate the pace of the game, and that should be something that we could impose to give us some advantage, but I'm happy with the win.
Sure. I think the pace of the game could stand to be improved a little bit by Dallas. I think that's Luka's really wanting to control the pace, but I think the pushing and the fast break has been a strength of these Mavericks the second half of the year. I would like to see a little bit more of that, but there were a few times where Dallas tried it and goofy things happened, and that sort of changed the way things were going there. But it was awful in all the right sports ways. That's basically why I love and hate watching like live sports. It's there's so many NBA games in the regular season. Sometimes they feel meaningless. When it really does matter, it's just it hits you here. Like it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, but by the way, like I think we are in the series. Like this would be such a closing series. I guess everybody is betting on 7 games, and we are. But if someone opens 2 games, I guess it's over because like it's too equal. It's too close. So, and I can see a brighter future. I don't know if it's that unpopular, but I think like in the offseason, we have some trade access that we can't be attached on, like. Josh Green, Tim Hardaway, Max Kleber, like if we get proposed from them, like just move on. I guess we have like roof to improve, and I'm pretty satisfied with the season, but we have potential for so much more.
I'm going to be very interested to see what they can do. This series could go far. I also think the Mavericks could win the next three games if they just actually play some decent offense, which is, you know, I'm sure people are going to be complaining tomorrow that Josh and I were a little too negative, but it's just, you watch these games and you're like, man, they missed some real opportunities to bury the Clippers. And I was just so excited that they actually won this one, because I feel like they gave a lot of stuff away where it was just weird circumstance, you know, guys missing shots that they could make, things like that. And so it was, I'm glad to get, you know, kind of get over the one win hump. And now maybe the Mavericks can go, you know, when they come back to Dallas here on Friday night, and really stick it to the Clippers.
One out of team question, like, I'm very admired by your knowledge of overseas basketball. Are you not cheating at all. Are you like watching EuroLeague playoffs or something like that? Because like the time there in the US is kind of friendly for them.
So I follow, I have sort of the Instagram algorithm really feeds me a ton of stuff. So because I follow a couple of players like your countryman, Marcelo Huertas, and I like watching where guys that used to be in the NBA go. I don't really watch any games live, but I love it. And then what's really fun is, particularly with like being a fan of Luka, a lot of Slovenian followers will send me clips from just different, you know, wherever Dante Exum played last year. I've seen a lot there. Oh my gosh. But just like the arenas, like I really love, I just love all kinds of different basketball, because it's the same sport, but it can be really different depending on the environment. And, you know, it's obviously regular season and playoffs, for example, but the EuroLeague stuff, I just like following it. I wish I could watch more, but I think my wife would divorce me, so I choose against it.
Yeah, you mentioned Exum. I think we need more of him in the game. I mean, like,
he needs to find a flow. He's been very out of sorts, and he's made, frankly, he's looked not ready. And that's been a bit shocking to me.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of just unlock. Once he's unlocked, like, I guess he will find his space.
I think he'll lighten up.
He'll improve a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to it. Well, my man, I'm going to try to get to as many people as possible. Thanks for kicking us off and starting the show.
Thank you very much, Kirk. See you.
All right. Hope to see you Friday. All right. So here's what, guys, if you're getting a notification that you can't join because the room is full, basically we got 9 guys right now. I'm going to go through as many people kind of as quickly as possible. Definitely want all of you to be able to say your piece. That's the whole point of the show. But if you want to, if you get kind of the notification that you're not ready or that it's full, try again. So coming up next is Harold. Hey Harold, I bet you're feeling good.
Yeah, definitely. That was a really, really stressful game. It was a great game. That's for sure. I know you had said something about, was it a 5 yards in a cloud of dust or 2 yards in a cloud of dust? But
sometimes these games feel like old football games from before we realized that the forward pass was a good thing.
Yeah, well, one of the best football games I ever saw, I remember, was like around 1990. I think it was the 49ers and the Giants during the regular season. And the 49ers won that game 9-7. And it was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. So I loved today's game. It was so stressful. I don't mind defense. I mean, I don't like all of the sloppy turnovers. That was kind of annoying. But I did want to say that I think that the Clippers are better than a lot of people gave them credit for. And this is going to be a good series for us. I said they were going to win it in 6 initially. Then I got a little cocky when the situation with Kawhi. I thought, okay, we're going to win it in 5. But I still say 6. But the fact that the Clippers are better than I think most people think, I think is really going to serve the Mavericks well for the next round. I think it's going to be a little bit easier. The offense is going to come a little bit easier in the next round because the Clippers are playing really great defense. Surprisingly so. And Ty Lue is a great coach, and he's scheming the hell, you know, out of the games. And you know what I think about Jason Kidd. So sure. I'm pretty happy that it's going to be a tough series, but I think we're still going to win it in 6, and it's going to serve us well against probably Oklahoma City, who's I think is playing a team like the Pelicans that's just not ready. So, yeah. Another point I wanted to make was Maxey. You know, we talk about how we malign him a lot, but I know we all know his defense is really, really good when he's on, but it also seems like, you know what? I've noticed like his offense, he's clutch. He's not good. I get it. He's not good in the regular season, but it seems like in the playoffs, he'll shoot over 40%. I haven't checked his stats, but in the playoffs, his threes seems better. And I've noticed like in the regular season, when he's had a chance to hit last second shots, he's like, you know, made them in pretty good. I think like at least half of them over the years that I've seen him shoot last second shots or shots with like 10 seconds left. So the guy's clutch. I think he's built for the playoffs because
he's just got to take the shots. Tonight he took the shots that were given to him without being like, fuck, 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 which is what he seems to do sometimes. So I was pleased that he looked so confident tonight.
Yeah, maybe it's just because he doesn't think as much in the playoffs. He's just you know, running around crazy, playing great defense. He's shooting when he needs to shoot, and it is what it is. And then the last one thing I wanted to say was about Hardaway. You know, him being out, and we saw how the defense was awesome tonight. It reminded me again of the second half of 2022 and the way we played in the playoffs there. And, you know, I just hope that he's had a lot of months to figure it out, but I'm hoping that he does figure out that Hardaway needs to play less minutes, and we'll be on our way with the defense, and Luka and Kyrie will wake up, and we're going to get through this series for sure. And it's going to be a nice run in the playoffs. I'm pretty confident.
Good, Harold. We'll talk soon. Hopefully Friday. All right.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Got a lot of people waiting to talk. So we're going to go to, you know, I keep getting the notification that the room is full and people are trying to join. So just keep, you know, it feels very much like a whiny liberal Twitter account during an election. If you're in line, stay in line, screaming at, I really want you to come hang out with me and talk basketball. So please, I will move as quickly as possible, but I want people to know that we're chatting here. All right. Sudoshan, how you doing tonight? Hit that unmute button. How you doing?
Hey, you got my name right.
I did?
You might be one of the few Americans who actually gets it right.
Let's go!
How you doing? Hey, long time listener, actually. This is the first time I'm coming on.
Well, I'm grateful for you joining us. What's going on? What do you think about the game?
It was a slugfest. It was a real slugfest. And to be not the best wake-up call in the morning, if I'm honest.
But then you're going to be, you know, it's grindy basketball. It's stressful, and the stress is we're supposed to like it. I don't know why. I guess we're all gluttons for punishments. But I, in hindsight, I will say I had a good time. I don't know if I had a good time during the process.
No, I know the rest of my house was basically checking in to see whether I was going nuts, because basically I was yelling at the screen.
Sure.
Constantly, but I mean, to pick up off of that, I would prefer to wake up like this than go to sleep after how game one happened. Game one was just a complete and utter shit show from the beginning.
We had a guy from Ireland who joined, and he's like, this is the only game I'm going to be able to watch, and it was awful. Like, I felt so bad for him.
Well, I mean, it's been 10 years of following the NFL as well, so I've kind of gotten used to the 1 o'clock games. It's just that it's kind of a bitch in college afterwards. Sorry for my language.
Oh, that's fine. I curse like a sailor. Come on. You know this.
So, yeah, cause I have to get up at 8 AM to get to college, and, staying up till 3:30 to watch them completely shit the bed is not the best way to start your day. But what I wanted to ask you was, there were points where it was, really frustrating to watch in the second and the third quarters, where, you know, it felt like every time we'd get a turnover, they would just turn the ball right back, and they were really doping it up, like Luka particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, was it just the Clippers defense, or was it they were getting frustrated with the lack of foul calls, and you saw Luka with the kind of shitty deck at the end of the third quarter. But I mean, how do they navigate these kind of situations? I'm sure it'd be easier at home. It's not easy in an away setting as such, but
that's part of it. They're just gonna have to figure this out, and they're gonna have to keep forcing the issue, not settling for mid-range shots. find means of getting to the rim. Josh Bowe talked about this on our last show a little bit. He thinks they're not using their full offensive repertoire yet. Tend to agree. Mm-hmm. But I also think the Clippers are just so rangy that this might just be ugly basketball. And if they connect on an outside shot early, I think that will help loosen up the Clipper defense. Mavericks just really haven't been shooting the three well early, really Luka in particular. Kyrie ends up being a little more measured with his threes. He doesn't take – sometimes I feel like he doesn't take near as many as I'd like to see because he's just so good, particularly he, like, pulls up and it's, it just seems to surprise the defense.
But sometimes he takes those transition threes and it's – I don't know whether it's Tim Hardaway Jr. PTSD – but even when you see Kyrie take it, you're like, no, yes.
Oh, and he might be statistically on those pull-up and transition threes. I'm pretty sure Kyrie's the best at that in the league. He shoots something like 42 to 44% on them. But when they miss and there's nobody else down there, because he's usually the one first up the floor, it feels kind of extra awful. But I just – I can't shake the feeling that an offensive explosion is coming from this Mavericks team. That's where I land.
Right. And the one other thing that I noticed was, for the first time ever, I'm seeing Luka really get on his teammates. And I don't know whether, again, it might be a little bit of frustration, I guess, but there were points where he was visibly, like, agitated with how they were playing, whether they were being careless with the ball or whether they weren't sort of getting into sets or whether they weren't sort of... So, I don't know, is that the pressure sort of catching up to him, or is it just, like, Luka being
no, it's hard for me to say, because I some of their sets Luka's the one calling them. Kid lets him call things, and mm-hmm. I don't know. This we'll see more of it. I think the physicality was getting a little bit frustrating for Luka tonight, because the Clippers in that third quarter got all the free throws and the Mavericks didn't get, I think, maybe one, and that really started to bother him. But mm-hmm. he's got to play through that, because the foul calls are going to come and go. You know, some right. games they'll get a lot of them, and some games they're not.
Mm-hmm. So, and one final thing before I head out, what do you think are the next adjustments? Like, we know that Ty Lue is like quite the chess master when it comes to adjustments game to game or even in game. But what are the adjustments you think they can make? I don't think they can hope and pray that they miss 3 points.
I think it really depends on whether Kawhi plays again. I think Kawhi playing resulted in Harden and Paul George taking the foot off the gas a little bit. I also think that they didn't force the Mavericks centers in to deal with Zubac near enough. He's just mm-hmm. such a load down low. And obviously 20 points is a bit of an outlier game for him, but they didn't really make him much of a threat until the second half. So I think they really kind of re-emphasize that is what I think. As for the Mavericks, they just need to hit some shots. I don't know, but we'll see though. But man, thank you so much for joining. I hope you come back.
Yes, I look forward to that. Have a nice evening.
Have a good day. Talk soon.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Now we're going to go to my main correspondent, Brian. Hit that unmute button. What's going on tonight, friend? Been a long time no talk.
Yeah, brother, it's been a while. How have you been? How did you enjoy the game?
I did okay. This has been kind of a stressful evening because my wife took the baby to the emergency room midway in the first quarter. He's fine, but it was he has croup, which I don't know if you've ever heard a baby that has that. They sound like a fucking goose, and it's just an awful noise, and it freaks you out as a parent. But he's fine. But it sounded like he couldn't breathe. And so it's like, well, I can't breathe because playoff basketball. Now I can't breathe because my kid's sick and leaving. And so he ended up coming home fine. But now I'm here, and it's 1 a.m, and I'm all juiced up. So what do you think about the game?
Man, okay, a few points. PJ Washington, Derek Jones Jr., Josh Green, defensive rebounding. Wowza, hats off to you. All three of you. Maxi Kleber, 6 rebounds. Hats off to you. Much appreciated. We need it because Daniel Gafford did not have it tonight. This might not be a Daniel Gafford series. Derek Lott, 9 boards, only 7 points. He really should have had more. Like when Gafford and Lively like catch and like start actually finishing at the rim,
right,
we're really going to break the series open. But even with that, Lively still had a pretty good game, especially compared to how Gafford was faring. And I know he's going to get his head back on straight. He's too good of a player to keep playing the way he's been, but it's been rough for him. So we'll see how that goes. Luka Doncic, ISO defense, particularly in the clutch. Wowza. Like, really. I don't have too many words, man.
Oh, shocking. Jason, do you follow Jason Maples on Twitter by chance?
Loosely, I don't think I actually follow him, but I see.
Yeah, he's like one of those. He's one of those kind of podcasts. Jason Gay. He had a really hilarious. Like, Luka doesn't play any defense, and then he absolutely deleted the tweet. Now I just see it all over my timeline. It's really making me laugh.
And to his credit, came right back towards the end of the game. He said, "Okay, yeah, no, Luka's walking him down defensively." So, like, hey, credit to Jason. What credit is due? Because he's a Pels guy. He's not really too keen on giving Luka any credit. But no, Luka was awesome. Down the stretch when they were hunting him over and over and over, getting his man to come up and set screens, trying to make him work, trying to gas him so that he couldn't give them anything on offense. And he walked down and he hit step back three after layup after corner kick and was coming right back down and locking up Kawhi, James Harden, Norm Powell, Amir Coffey, Russ Westbrook in ISO. So, like, that's if you want to be a star, if you want to be the MVP, if you want to win the championship, that's what you got to do. You got to do it on both ends. And you don't have to be elite, but you got to be able to hold water. And they got to know they can't pick on you. And, yeah, now I'm just interested to see what the next move is. Like, is it, okay, let's try Kawhi. Let's try Kyrie now and see if he can hold up to that physically. I don't know. But Luka was great. Kyrie was, like you said, he was really selective in his shots. He only took 18. I was kind of surprised by that. But went 18 from the field, hit shots when we needed them, played pretty in control, was much better than he was in the first game. And I thought he was pretty good in the first game, even though everything went to shit.
The turnovers were the only thing that had me, like, in my feelings mid-game. The Clippers only turned the ball over 8 times. The Mavericks only turned the ball over 13 times, but it felt like Luka's and Kyrie's turnovers were of the live ball variety, and those always feel kind of extra catastrophic. I mean, almost every Maverick turnover was a live ball. Like, you remember Maxi getting stripped, and I'm like, that's why we don't dribble Maxi Kleber.
Yeah, was that Russ that came and got him from behind?
Yeah. It was a great strip by Russ. So it's like, what? And it's just, oh God. This game,
and
was
that's
just...
the thing with the Clippers. They're just all active hands and elbows and knees and everything just flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you would think that they're a team that plays at a faster pace than they do, but they don't. We're the faster team usually. And if our bigs can catch and finish, maybe we can get back to some of that. Until then, we're stuck in the mud and we just got to play in the mud. And our guys did a great job doing that tonight.
Like it. Like it. Well, I hope you come back for Friday night. That's going to be, that game starts at 7, so we'll be have a much more reasonable podcast time.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Have a good week.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right. Coming up next is my man Greg. And then we're going to go Krom, JJ, Nick Robb. We got Chris is trying to connect to the show, but it says his devices aren't connected, so I won't be able to bring him up until that gets sorted out. Greg, how you doing?
Good evening or morning.
Thanks for hanging out. What's going on tonight or this morning?
Would like to see a little bit more pick and roll. Would like to see a little bit more getting out and running. I think that the Clippers kind of ran out of gas towards the end of the game. I think if we run a little bit more, we can hasten that process. But one thing that's driving me crazy in the pick and roll is the Clippers are pushing the screener into the guy being screened, and the ref's got to call that.
I also need the ball handler to use the screen a little more. I you're right about the kind of extra physicality out there. I don't know though, because it's they what they really look for, like the point of emphasis is for the screener to make sure that the screener's not moving. And if I'd be surprised if we ever really see that. Like Josh Green got called for one of those tonight. Do you remember this? It was maybe not. Josh Green only had four. He played 4 fouls in his 14 minutes. But it's like one of those off-ball things where he's coming around and he goes so hard over the screen that he basically commits a foul. And I think that's sort of what you're asking them to call a little more of on these high screen rolls from Maverick.
No, what I'm asking them to call is that the Clippers, when they're on defense and we're coming up to set a screen, they're actually pushing the screener into the guy being screened. Go back and watch the tape. Mm. It's every screen and they can't, you know, get down and set a very good screen. And so now they're just flipping the screen instead of using the screen.
Okay. I'm going to have to go look for it. I believe you. I just, like, the game was getting so physical at certain points, I was kind of throwing my hands up. And I'm like, well, I guess they're not going to call anything. So that's an interesting observation.
I was not happy with the officiating either, because I thought that they were allowing the Clippers to be a lot more physical than the Mavericks.
Third quarter, that was certainly the case. The third quarter was particularly bad. I thought the fourth quarter is a little better. I mean, Kawhi in particular is one of the hardest guys to ref, because he's just like Luka in that he's so unbelievably strong. Like, they simply do not call the off. Like, he gives a little forearm shiver on his drives. He did it to Derek Lively once right under the rim. And Lively's just so good about being enormous under the rim, but he basically folded Lively over before taking the jump, like taking a little 3-foot hook. The Clippers are really talented at the minutia of offensive fouling. So
yeah.
Well, anything else?
Well, I thought that Luka had a very, very good defensive game. Probably the best defensive game I've seen him play, actually. And I think that if he continues that in this series, that it's going to be very hard to beat the Mavericks, because now you got somebody that can guard Paul George or that third, you know, superstar type player, so to speak. So, and I thought Kyrie actually had some very good defensive moments against James Harden.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. I mean, Harden was really on one the other night, and they didn't leave Luka solely on Harden tonight, which was a good thing for me. I was very impressed by Luka's defensive game. I'm looking forward to sort of watching more of the tape on that if I get time tomorrow or before the next game. If he locks in a little, it's very hard for him, a guy who has a ball like that, to lock in all game long. But if he does it a little more frequently, then maybe he doesn't need to be so much of a Superman on offense.
Yeah, finally, PJ and Derek Jones Jr. combined for 28 points and 13 rebounds. If we can get just one more guy going just a little bit, I think it's Church.
I think I like the take. Greg, thanks for staying up late to talk basketball with us.
I'll see you on Friday.
All right. Okay, coming up next is Karam. Karam, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am fading, but that's okay.
Yeah, I feel you. I got to get ready for work. I got to go to sleep so I can go to work tomorrow. I'm in California, so my
time not quite so bad for you.
No. Just a few points. Someone put on the thing on the chat that Kleber Maxey averages about 37% from the three-point line in the playoffs. So that's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's quite good.
Yeah. With all the shit that we give him, that's impressive.
Like, he might as well just not be out there.
Yeah. I will say I'm happy that he got a new toe because his defense has been quite stellar.
It really has been. They wouldn't be here without his defense.
Second, I don't think like this aberration that we were not shooting well. Like, I think that's going to change or has to change at home. I just feel like going home, the fans are going to be on crack. And I think that momentum is going to be pretty big for us going forward. I still think we're going to win the series. I think going back home, I think for whatever reason, I feel like Luka has not been Luka in the playoffs. Is that weird?
No, he's not. He's not looked right. And I don't have a reason. A lot of people have asked me, and you know, a lot of my NBA fans who maybe don't watch the Mavericks still kind of continue to comment on his weight. I don't think that's it.
No.
I have some really ridiculous theories that probably shouldn't, you know, it's like that probably aren't even worth sharing, but they're just I think he'll be okay. He's allowed to have an off stretch.
What are your theories?
I mean, my first theory that's absolutely preposterous is he's out his wife or and his 4-month-old child are out there in Los Angeles with him.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, no, they are because she keeps posting photos. And number one, traveling with a small child, even as a rich person, strikes me as utterly exhausting. Because like once you get your kids off the sleep cycle and stuff like that, it just is tough. Even if he's like sleeping in a different room, there's just like a mental thing there. And that's a silly thing because all these all these guys' families travel with them to the game.
But that's his first probably.
First time, I mean, right. So it's right. That's kind of my like my really truly harebrained thing that it's like there's just a little extra stress. And it's the playoffs. It's the third time you're playing the Clippers.
That's what I was thinking. I think is that the nerves of just playing them the third time. He hasn't beat them at all, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that might be weighing on him. Like, can I beat this team? Like, kind of like, I don't like nightmarish, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's something that weighs on you, I think.
Yeah. I don't think PJ is going to play like ass at home. I hope not. But he hasn't looked good.
He offensively, PJ is who he is, where I think we're just never going to get. It's not like he's going to be a super consistent guy. Now, can he make layups? That's all I really needed him to do tonight. And then he went from being really rough to being like essentially the reason they won the game with his two big threes. So
I'm sorry. I meant Daniel Gafford.
Gafford. Well, Gafford, I'm not sure Gafford is going to be a part of this series.
Maybe he will. I think he can be, but I think you need to put Lively starting and have PJ come off the bench.
Yeah. Well, maybe
that will work. Can I Gafford, say one more thing? Are you cool with that?
Mm, of course, man.
The last thing I want to say is I think if we can take the next game, I just feel like our shooting percentage has been pretty shit these last two games. I don't see it going that way at home. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to shoot better, right? I mean, First game, historically crap. I mean, what did we score today? 32%, 33%? What,
from three? They did real well from three as a team. They shot 42%, 14-33. From the field, they shot 42% from the field. That was
pretty rough. They had, like, that Daniel Gafford dunk. I mean, like, our shots have to go in from that close of a range, right? And I think if we can take game three, I think the series is over.
That's right. That's right. All right, man. Thanks for joining. I hope you come back next game.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right. Talk soon. All right. Coming up next is JJ, and then we're going to Nick Rob, and we will close out unless there's other folks. JJ, what's going on?
Kirk, how's it going? Thanks for having me again.
Of course. Thanks for staying up late.
Thanks for what you do to your body. This is, what is it, one over there? I'm in Cali as well. So
it's fine. It's you know, it's 1:30. I'll be fine. It's once we push like the 3:30 stuff and I get less than 4 hours, that's when I'm awful.
Well, yeah, thanks. I mean, this is a big service to the Mavs fan community, so appreciate it. Yeah, that was an awesome 1997 Knicks Heat basketball game. That was a slugfest. I heard this note that it was our first win all season, scoring less than 100. So
that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, that was shocking. Kyrie looks hyper motivated. I loved what he was doing defensively in the second and third quarters, especially, like, so many deflections and steals, probably stuff that doesn't even show up on the box score because he was just all over the place. There was a play where he stripped Kawhi on the sideline just to kind of break up a low post play. And I noticed things are getting pretty chippy between him and Harden. I think they have some beef going back to their Nets days, right?
Oh, 100%.
So I think he looks like really, really motivated, especially defensively when guarding Harden. So I think that's benefiting us.
Did you see the little shove? There was one play.
Game one.
This game where it's like they were on each other and he just sort of Harden just shoves Kyrie, like, offhand thing. It was like an after the play thing. It might've been towards the end of the third quarter. I'm getting it wrong, but there's definitely some testiness there.
That happened in game one. I remember that happening in game one. Kyrie did that to Harden after, like, some play. Harden was just hanging around him and he shoved him off. So I like that. I mean, I think that's motivation for Kyrie. I don't know if Harden responds the same way, but so I think that's net a benefit to us. And then I don't know. I think I have to disagree with a lot of folks here. I like what I'm seeing out of PJ again. Like I said this last time, in his first playoff series, he's certainly not shying away from the occasion. He's remaining aggressive.
No, that's true.
He's shooting his shot. He remained aggressive through some adversity in this game, made some huge impact plays in the fourth. I like what I'm seeing. So I think he's playing an integral part of our success so far in this series. On the flip side, a few things that got me concerned is PG is a problem defensively. Like I've noticed that, especially early in games when Kyrie or Luka are in ISO, PG just seems to roam off his guy and just come over and kind of, you know, sometimes from the back or over the top, and he's just been like hampering Kyrie, especially in ISO. And we got to figure out a way to make them pay for that. I don't know if we have the shooters to do that, but we have to make them pay.
It depends on who he's been locking up. I don't remember who he guarded tonight, but I want to say it's Kyrie early. The Mavericks have to find a way to get some action involving Kyrie getting an easy look early. I think will change. And, you know, Kyrie really doesn't force the issue. It drives a lot of the big Kyrie super fans that pop in here and then are on Twitter, I think, like, are really frustrated that Kyrie doesn't get the ball more early. I honestly think that's kind of by his own choice. I would love to see him force the action early just for a different look, because I don't know if teams are expecting it. And then, you know, he ends up taking two or three shots in the first quarter regardless. But sometimes I feel like they come well after, you know, Luke has gotten his first four attempts. I don't know. It's just for a different look early. And Mavericks offense felt a little stagnant last couple of games. So.
Yeah. Kyrie had zero in the first quarter. We've got to change that. We have to find a way to make PG pay. You know, this is nitpicky, but we missed a lot of free throws. We went 67% from the line. We missed 9 free throws. That's 9 free throws. That's 10% of the entire point, all the points we scored in this game, right? We scored like 96 or whatever. So we can't afford to miss that many free throws.
Lively missing 3 of his, and that's, you kind of got to live with that. Jones, like, they're just not good free throw shooters. Washington he connected on 1 of 3 on a 3-point 1.
Yeah.
That really hurt. But then he hit the next 4 he took.
Right.
You know, Kyrie missing that one at the end.
Yeah.
Was wild. So it's like, it really felt like the Mavericks kept trying to give this game away in different means. So.
Yeah. And then just a last few things I'll say, I'm interested to see if the Clippers actually start to crack mentally. Cause I mean, they have certainly versus, you know, 2-3 years ago, they have some big egos on that team. Right. Harden's known to disappear in the playoffs and kind of go through his own shit. I think PG's already kind of disgruntled, right? His future is not secure. We just need to come out and punch him in the mouth on Friday night and instill some doubt. Westbrook is a wild cannon, right? He's a loose cannon. We need to play the mental game here. And I'm hoping Luka, with how he finished that game, I'm hoping he comes out and just throws a few, you know, haymakers. And then lastly, you know, Kawhi is coming. Like, he missed all of his threes tonight. He looked rusty in the first. He is going to play better. We've seen it in Dallas before.
Sure.
So, yeah. I you know, I don't think this is going to be easy by any means. I'm a little surprised Mavs fans are so confident. I mean, I'm a homer, but
I just have a healthy respect to the Clippers. And yeah. Even if Kawhi doesn't play, let's say that his knee's acting up. I mean, he went down hard a few times tonight where I'm like, eesh. Because you never want to see a guy get hurt, even a guy you loathe. But they just have a lot of weapons. And yeah. And it's important to continue to take this team seriously. And I'm sure the Mavericks certainly do, but it's mentally, as I'm watching the game, it's like, oh my God, they're passing the ball to these guys. 2 or 3 of these guys would slide right into the Dallas rotation, not meaning the superstars, but the guys that are on the tail ends of the back half of the Clippers rotation, like
Norman Powell. Yeah.
Yeah. Heck of a basketball player, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't gotten going, which is amazing for us. I was scared of him coming into the series. So thank God he has gotten going, but yeah, they're dangerous.
Well, thanks so much for hanging out and talking late.
Thanks, Kirk.
All right. Coming up, last but not least, one of my Los Angeles based friends, Mr. Nick Robb. What's going on? Hit that unmute button. See if he's actually still awake. I sent him a DM on Twitter, and we'll see if he can figure out how to use this particular platform. He said he wanted to talk, but I'm not sure. He might have actually gone to the game tonight. You there? I can see him messing with the thing. Hit the unmute button. Their mic can't unmute your guest. The mic isn't connected. Nick, we need you to close this out because I want to go to sleep. Let's try this then. All right. Whoa, how's this?
There we go. You hear me?
Yeah, you look good too.
Oh, good. Well, welcome to not so sunny Los Angeles. We're over by the lighting center where they, they coordinate all the installing of the various light posts.
Fantastic.
Hundreds of years of light post history right here.
This is on the ground, boots on the ground reporting.
This is off-center tourist stuff. Like, I think anytime you come out here and go to take your children to Disneyland, you don't get to see this. So here you go. I had the misfortune of going to game one, but also the great pleasure of going to game 2. And it's very interesting how they both went. I can tell you my observations is Luka just looks tired in Baltimore. And he played – you know, everyone was down on him. I thought he played very good defense from what I could see in game 1, too, but better in game two. Start of game 2, it really made me want to love Jason Kidd because they just ran at Zoo and they racked up too early, got him out with something like 4 minutes into the game. And I'm like, yes, okay, he understands it. And then, No, nothing like that. They didn't like challenge Zoo, make him draw fouls. Like, I mean, they still minimalized him in certain ways, but they still, it still wasn't like this aggressive, like, okay, this is your guy. This is going to be your game changer. Let's get him the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give people a little bit of flavor. I've been going to Clipper games for a while now. I, you know, adopted them as my like secondary team. The energy in the building has still never gotten close to what it was during the Chris Paul era, ever. When, like, this is probably the best Clippers team on paper, and there were empty seats throughout the game. The people next to me left before halftime because his girlfriend was tired or what the fuck ever. It's really interesting how it goes. Like, they are still the redheaded stepchild of Los Angeles, and I am very interested to see how they go into a dome, because their best selling point is this team will not have Paul George on it. You know,
right. I
mean, the best player I've not enjoyed 1 minute of watching despite any team he's been on. Let's see, what else do I gotta say? I'm cautiously optimistic. I think they're just missing so much, the Clippers, this game, that it's like I can't just go to, you know, the top of Griffith and just yell about it. Like, they're missing, they're playing so sloppy. And it's just like, this is great. I love it. I love this moment, but can I build off of it? I don't know.
One of our commenters just keeps posting street lights over spotlights because of where you're walking. And
that failed. The Clippers have had so many fucking failed campaigns.
It just isn't gonna work, and they can't do anything about that.
Yeah, and they're targeting, you know, lower income areas that don't go to Lakers.
That aren't gonna track to go to a game. Yeah,
but those are the most Lakers fanatical people in Los Angeles by far.
That's right.
So there was a sequence. So I wasn't, you know, I was at the game, the Clippers were bringing the ball up. There's a whistle and then a side out, but nobody was assessed a foul. Like, and this was in the second. And it's just like, I was very confused about that. And there's an instance where Kawhi made a basket, gets called a foul, but Zubac shot the penalty. And it's just like, as we were just sitting there, we don't get the commentary. And the Clippers PA system is they're very bad about saying, like, visiting team substitutions and stuff like that. And so I was wondering if there's something I was missing. There's some stuff where it's like, I've never seen this. I've never seen somebody make a basket and then another guy on the same team shoots the ball. You know? I've never seen that. But, like, Kawhi was on the line.
They were trying to get away with it. The broadcast crew was like, the broadcast crew was calling it out as it happened, and the refs nearly missed it. It was pretty bad.
Kawhi was on the line, and they're like, no, you go. Zubac is going to shoot this. And it's like, I don't understand what's happening, but, you know, in terms of free throw shooters, I'll take it. Right. Kawhi has no lift on his shot. That gives me some cautious optimism too. I don't know. This game was a lot more fun than the last one.
That's good. I'm glad you got at least one fun game.
Yeah. This was the best way I want to send off the crypt. That's right. Not the last one.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for joining, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the series.
I fucking hope I do too.
All right. Maybe see you in here later in the week. Have a good one.
Let's do it. All right.
Okay, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Mavs Moneyball has our normal content. Josh Bowe has informed me he is writing a post-game column because he likes writing in the middle of the night like a weirdo. We'll be back here Friday like we do. And I don't know, maybe I'll see if I can find somebody else that would want to talk basketball with me during the week. I'll post all this stuff on the YouTube. Those of you who are, you know, the drill, please leave a comment, like, subscribe. You know, get notified whenever we go live. We'll talk soon. Everybody have a great rest of your week, and go Mavs.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.